Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommer, is on the board. It is Monday, July 29th, 2024. A great day to be a Wisconsinite. High atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square at the World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, where overcast today, Mr. Zommers. A little clouds, a little rain this morning, and they're saying the rest of the week, take an umbrella or a rain jacket with you because it's going to be damp. It's going to be damp the rest of the day or the rest of the week.
Yes, yes, indeed. And luckily, I always have an umbrella in my car because what the Boy Scout motto is, be prepared.
Always be prepared. I was not a Boy Scout for long. I was certainly not an Eagle Scout like yourself, but I've always remembered that, and I try to be prepared.
I do my best. Sometimes I get it.
How was your weekend? I go back to Manitowoc or did you stay around here?
I ended up sticking around here. Yeah. It was good. It was relaxing. Didn't really do a whole lot. And sometimes that's good. Yeah, I was going to go up north fishing, but then Friday I was just super tired and didn't feel like driving 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I did drive. Here's what happened. I've been on the road. I was trying to think, in the month of July, have I slept in my own bed 5 times, and I'm not sure that I have. But, and it's fantastic. I love being on the road, but it has been quite a bit lately. And so on Friday, I went down to Monroe, Wisconsin, beautiful Green County, and my oldest godson, Alex, by the way, a shout out to Alex Kohler. He asked for a shout out, so there you go, Alex. He was in town from Indianapolis and was playing in his dad, the father of my godson, Kurt, who runs the Badger ethanol plant down in Monroe, and they had a big corporate golf outing, a big best ball, and Kurt is a scratch golfer, and Alex, both my godsons are very good golfers. Alex is a very good golfer, so he was in town to be with his dad, and apparently the reports are from the Badger Ethanol Golf Tournament in Monroe that the best ball foursome containing my godson and his dad missed the money by one stroke. Missed it by that much.
Wow.
But still a great...
impressive.
Still impressive. So, yeah.
Is being a scratch golfer a good thing?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I figured, based on your tone.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And so that was... So I had dinner with them on Friday. And then on Saturday, I went up to Shawano because it was Dad's birthday. You might recall I said on Friday, my dad turning 78. Got the numbers flipped around, the old dyslexia there. 78. And so I was supposed to go out of Madison straight up the interstate, 39 up to near Stevens Point. Then you take like 66 over to 29 and away you go. Well, there was a couple of accidents. I think people that have been on Wisconsin roads lately can relate. I mean, I don't know what it is this summer, but traffic has been crazy, crazy drivers, construction. And so there was an accident on or about DeForest, just north of Madison, and traffic slowed down like 20 miles an hour. And then there was another accident because further up the interstate splits and 39 goes kind of straight or north, and then it kind of veers to the left for 90-94. And then a little ways later, it splits again, and you could go either towards La Crosse or you can go towards Eau Claire and the Twin Cities. So I was in the left lane because of all this traffic and accidents, and all the semis, or most of them, were to my right. And I don't know if I was just, as my former teacher, Ken Lewis, is fond of saying, too poor to pay attention. But the next thing I know, I'm like, boy, I really got to take a leak. And so there was a wayside, and I pulled over, and I'm like, wait a minute. And I looked at my phone, and I was like 5 miles south of Blackfur Falls. I had missed my split to go north on 39, and I found myself darn near, you know, Blackfur Falls, Eau Claire, completely on the other side of the state of where I intended to go.
Oops.
And then I'm like, oh, Judas Priest. And so I had to put it. And it was a very beautiful drive. I think it was Highway 54 and then 10. I went through Wood County and Jackson County and all the cranberry bogs, the beautiful forests. I will tell you this, and you know this, and the audience knows this, I've been traveling the state a lot. I have not seen as many Trump 2024 signs, field signs, and yard signs as I did between Black River Falls and Shawano this
Interesting.
Weekend. That, wow, that did just, there's, as my former barista Miguel Vega likes to say, that's a lot. It was a lot. But anyway, I got there safely in the late afternoon on Saturday to Shawano, celebrated Dad's birthday, and then came back to Madison yesterday. And I'm driving. I thought, well, I'm not going to take the Beltline around to my apartment. I'll go through town. And I'm on West Washington. And to my left, there's two cars. And the guy in the white VW is like all over the place. I'm like, what? And he rolls down his window and he flips the bird to the guy in front of him and starts yelling. And that guy just keeps going. And then he starts trying to like cut in, go around him and cut in to like almost hit the guy. So I pick up the phone and I dial 911. I'm trying to be a good Samaritan. I'm like, somebody's going to get killed here. So I'm on the phone with the 911 dispatcher. And sure enough, we're going in on West Washington, East Washington towards the Capitol. And this Yahoo is, I mean, he and his apparently girlfriend or wife start throwing garbage and stuff out the window towards this other person. And the other person's just trying to get away. He's just, I'm not sure what happened before I came on the scene. But regardless, the guy in the brown vehicle was trying to just say, dude, I'm getting away. The dude in the white vehicle would not let it go and ended up pulling in front of the brown vehicle, and the brown vehicle hit him. Now we got ourselves, as they said on the New Jersey Shore, now we got us a situation. Now there's a situation. And they get out. And they start the dude is like, you know, he's like bare chested and kind of blonde hair, and he looks like a banty rooster, and he's acting like he's gonna punch the guy, and he kind of throws a couple of punches, and I'm doing the play by play to the 911 woman, who's very nice, and she's like, I need to know where this is at, so I'm trying to find cross streets and everything, and there's another accident on the side street.
Oh my gosh!
And the EMS people, they see this, and I see them on their walkie-talkies, like calling it in. Well, then finally, the dude and the chick in the white vehicle get it, and they leave the scene. And the dispatcher says, "Well, I don't want you to get hurt, but like, can you follow him?" And well, I'm all in at this point. I'm on the scene. You understand? So I start following at a safe distance, and I start giving the dispatcher, we're crossing Baldwin Street, we're crossing Richardson Street, Livingston, wherever they are, and we got all the way up to a block off the Capitol Square, and by golly, here come a couple of Madison's finest, and bada bing, bada boom, go around and got the guy.
Wow.
It was an eventful weekend for you. It was an eventful weekend. And you understand, these things happen, and all I'm trying to do is just get back to Madison and chill out. I didn't ask for that, but it was exciting.
It's a hell of a story, and I think you did the right thing.
Well, I felt bad for the person in the brown car. They were just trying to, like, I don't
get
know, like I say, I don't know what happened before I saw what, you know, what I did, but there was no excuse regardless of this. I mean, he was just, I mean, talk about a road rage.
I don't care what somebody did. I'm not going to sit there and throw garbage and then brake check them.
Exactly. And the dispatcher is like, do you see any weapons? I said, not yet.
Yeah, fair.
And I didn't get too, I mean, I was probably like four car lengths back because I'm like, I need to get out of here if things get out of control. So anyway, that was, yes, Andrew in Maine says, adventure follows Todd. It kind of tends to. And usually, people know me can attest to this without even trying. So anyway, that was my afternoon yesterday. And then I went over to my friends Allison and Jonathan's house, and we had a little week in review. And a lovely peach cobbler.
Ooh.
And a bottle of New Glarus strawberry rhubarb beer. Can't beat it with a stick. So anyway, that was the adventures. We're going to break lots of news to get to today. We're going to bring you these cuts. We listen to them so you don't have to always, and break it down for you. And let's start off, and we'll come back and take your calls after this. Secretary Pete Buttigieg, former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, now Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who is rumored to possibly be a dark horse candidate for Vice President Kamala Harris to be her vice presidential pick. Nobody does it better than Secretary Pete. He was on Fox News and confounding them because the Fox News people were trying to say, look, you know, crime's up under Biden, blah, blah, blah. Here is Secretary Pete on Fox News over the weekend.
Saying, but what the false message of the RNC was that this is leading to an increase in crime.
Well,
and I think it's really important that we talk about crime.
Have been very high profile about people. Of course, if they, had
of course
they not
there
been
are individual cases,
illegally,
but this is my
people
point,
would still
right?
be alive.
Trying to make people think that crime is up when crime is down under Joe Biden and crime was up under Donald Trump. Now, I don't know how often that gets reported on this network. So if you're watching this at home, do yourself a favor and look up the data.
Well, we invite that.
Great. So if you look this up at home, you will know that crime went down under Biden and crime went up
certain
under Trump.
Categories.
And I think the violent crime, for sure. So I think the really important thing to ask is, why would America want to go back to the higher crime that we experienced under Donald Trump?
Okay.
Bada bing, bada boom. Here's the thing I love about Pete Buttigieg is he goes into the lair of the right, Fox News. Not afraid. And he delivers facts and he pins their ears back politically, but he does it all while not being condescending and mean-spirited. He can make a point beyond any, I mean, I don't think he has a law degree, but he'd be a great attorney. He can deliver the facts, he can deliver the goods, but not do it in a mean, condescending way. And that is a talent. Now, over the weekend, several reports saying that the finalists, and who knows whether these are 100% factual, that the insider reports are that the finalists for Kamala Harris in her VP choice are U.S. Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona and Governor Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania. That seem and kind of the governor of Minnesota, Walz, is also kind of a dark horse out there. We'll have got a cut from him a little bit later on. But for my money, and one of my roundtable guests on Week in Review over the weekend, she believes it as well. I still believe there is a chance she'll pick Pete Buttigieg because of what you just heard right there. And because, like Mark Kelly, he is the second most vetted Democratic nominee right now, or possibility, for vice president. Come on back. Take your phone calls after this. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Do not go anywhere. We're back after this. It's the All Ball Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 past the hour of 12 noon. From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, all points in between, we appreciate you spending your lunch hour with us. Talking about the kind of the news headlines over the weekend, playing Pete Buttigieg on Fox News, putting to rest the misinformation that, oh my gosh, crime is up all across America in every category under Joe Biden, which is not true, factually untrue. And Buttigieg just laying out the facts on Fox News over the weekend. What are your thoughts? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Behind me, if you're watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the Civic Media Twitter account, you can see what we have named the honorary J.D. Vance sofa. J.D. Vance couch behind us here in the studio. And I won't go into great detail, but again, if you have not heard the news end of last week and continued over the weekend, that there were reports that in J.D. Vance's kind of autobiographic book that he wrote was later made into a movie, Hillbilly Elegy, which I have not read. that allegedly in the first draft run of the book, the first edition, that he kind of nonchalantly made a reference to he and a group of his college or high school buddies at one time, we'll just say, gratifying themselves with a couch to completion. So the story goes. And it blew up so much that the Associated Press last week had to put out, or chose to put out, a fact check. This happens all the time in politics. When there's a big accusation, the Associated Press puts the reporters on it and says, well, we're going to either prove this is true, somewhat true, or untrue. And so they put their crack investigative team on it, and they put out a statement saying, no, this is not true. But by the middle of the day on Friday, the Associated Press retracted the fact check on J.D. Vance and his sofa and said, while we cannot prove that it's true, neither can we prove that it's untrue. Yes. And so the meme world on social media, a meme again is a kind of a photo with some words. It's a humorous joke. And the memes on this, on couches and sofas, have gone crazy. Well, then to make matters worse, J.D. Vance came up here in his history, because, I mean, anything we do on social media, it lives into perpetuity. You can't get rid of it. And a while back, J.D. Vance retweeted a tweet with a woman and a dolphin, which had a sexual innuendo with it. Which is just weird. I mean, because Mr. Zomers, you understand socials better than I do. What he retweeted, it was clear that what he was searching for online were women and dolphins together.
I don't know. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on this one and this one alone. It's possible that one of his friends was like, yo, there's this weird video of a woman and a dolphin. You got to look it up. And so he Googled women and dolphin video.
But he retweeted it as a politician and said something like, well, the internet's getting really weird. Why would you retweet that if you're a Republican conservative politician?
That I do not give him a pass on. That's his own stupidity.
Right?
And also, like, yeah, the internet's weird. The internet's always been weird. You get everybody the ability to post whatever they want. You're going to get some weird stuff here and there or everywhere.
And we're going to talk about this a little bit later, because there's also, I mean, it's all serious, but it's just odd and strange, and the hypocrisy in this whole thing. And then you put on the very serious stuff that J.D. Vance over the weekend, the Republican vice presidential candidate now, doubled down on, and saying that people that don't have children, in his words, are childless cat ladies. And that people that don't have children should be taxed more, and that people that don't have children shouldn't have as much right to vote. It's bonkers to me that you would choose, if you're Donald Trump, a person that's just this weird and strange. So all this is kind of coming out over the weekend. Well, and by the way, J.D. Vance mentioned by name in these early remarks from a couple of years ago, Pete Buttigieg, saying that Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg are childless cat ladies. Well, as a matter of fact, the vice president has stepchildren with her husband, Doug Emhoff. And Emhoff's former wife came out and said that Kamala Harris is a great stepmother. A co-parent is the term that she called it. And of course, Pete Buttigieg, who is in a marriage with his husband, Chasten, and they have two lovely children. Well, over the weekend, this was Secretary Pete Buttigieg again talking about J.D. Vance on Jen Psaki's show on MSNBC.
I do want to know, because you've run for president yourself, you know Kamala Harris, you know Joe Biden, you've been around the system. What kind of qualities do you think would best complement her?
I mean, the bottom line is it's her call and she knows what she's doing. But what's great about this moment is there's an extraordinary bench of leaders in the Democratic Party, all of whom are doing everything we can to support the top of our ticket in Kamala Harris. And who knows what the exact flying formation is going to be like. But however that shakes out, I think you're going to see a lot of people pulling in the same direction in a party that, let's face it, is not always known for being extremely quick to get into alignment, to fall into line, as they say. But But what part of what's been remarkable about the last week, and I still can't believe that it's only been a week, is how quickly she coalesced mm-hmm. our famously big tent party across all of its different corners to come together and rally to the cause of making sure she's the next president.
No question. I also think this process of having so many Democrats out is joyful. It reminds people of how a lot of people get into politics for good reason. So regardless of what happens, I know a lot of Democrats, people who watched you on Fox News this morning, would love to see you on the debate stage with J.D. Vance. There's no question about it. You've watched him. You've commented on him. What would you love to debate him about? What topics would you love to discuss with him?
Where do you start? I think, they've selected somebody who has really reminded so many Americans of why they are off-put by the turn that the Republican Party has taken in the last few years. It's not just that he said a lot of things that are weird or insulting, like the characterization of, the Democratic Party as childless cat ladies. It's also that he seems to view everything in terms of the negative. And what I mean by that is, for example, this thing about having children, I think a lot of us who have had kids would be certainly say that experience opens you to a new way of thinking about the world. But he doesn't talk about it in those terms. He talks about how anybody who doesn't have kids is less than, that their perspectives have less value, which is just a really strange take. And it's not just a weird style that he brings. It's that this leads to weird policies, like his proposal that the number of votes you get in an election would be different depending on how many kids you have.
There you go. Pete Buttigieg and Jen Psaki over the weekend. I mean, that's how you do it. That is how it's done. Going after J.D. Vance and just putting the facts out there. Gizmo, listening on WGBH or WGBW up in Green Bay, says, I heard that J.D. stands for Just Davenports.
Oh, yeah.
Back with your phone calls, Mark in Prairie du Sac and more. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Bolts Show for a Monday. 855-752-4842 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Glad to have you along with us on a Monday, July 29th, 2024. Zommers on the board. Talking about events over the weekend. News, going to get to it. Going to get to some Trump cuts a little while as well. President Biden on the road, by the way, in Texas at the LBJ Library. Talking about some renovations, well, not renovations, but adjustments to the Supreme Court, maybe limiting terms to 18 years, not giving such a wide margin of immunity to presidents as the Supreme Court just ruled. Also talking about who Kamala Harris will pick as her vice president, and over the weekend, Secretary Pete Buttigieg, perhaps not a leading contender. People are saying it's Mark Kelly of Arizona or Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania. I still believe because of these cuts we're playing, he's so articulate, he's so smooth, he can defang MAGA Republican talking points without being nasty, without being a jerk. And as a veteran who served in active duty overseas, and having run a national campaign and finishing second to Biden in 2019-2020, he is probably the second most vetted person being considered after Mark Kelly, a former Navy fighter pilot and astronaut. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, and also just the weirdness of J.D. Vance. Let's go to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for holding through the break. We appreciate it, my friend. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Yeah, it's J.D. Vance, the flipper fornification fan fascist J.D. Vance. It is just
flipper fornification. That's fantastic.
it is just deeply disturbing. The whole, and perhaps I'm wrong, but this whole Project 2025 thing, I think, goes back to back to the Puritans and their actual hostility toward democracy in the first place. They actually believed it was a violation of the fifth commandment, obey thy father and thy mother, and more to the point is obey thy father, because I think that George Fitzhugh, a Confederate thinker, who, a rejection of the Enlightenment and the ideals of our Declaration of Independence, you know, on social justice and human equality and human liberty, that they just kind of reject that. They think we should be, you know, obey the ruler, and I think they actually want inter-democracy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that they're rewriting the Constitution. I think that they'd like to replace the current preamble with that of the Confederacy, where there is no reference to the general welfare defense.
Let me get your take on this, Mark, because this was a storyline that came out, kind of a sub-storyline over the weekend, that there were Republican, and I'm not necessarily just talking like mega operatives, I'm talking more, you know, mainstream-ish type of conservative and Republican operatives who are saying, of the talking points that MAGA and Trump are using right now, calling Kamala Harris the quote-unquote DEI candidate or higher, the J.D. Vance line that the liberals and Democrats are childless cat women, and say, look, this is not helping. This is going to drive black men away from Trump, the ones that were starting to come over. It's going to drive women, anybody who is thinking about voting on the MAGA ticket. It's having Meghan McCain, John McCain's daughter, who still considers herself Republican, was tweeting out, going apoplectic this weekend, saying, what are you doing? This is not what we should be doing. This is only going to help the Democrats. I think this kind of talk is, to your point, is this kind of theological thing of males being in charge of everything and being demeaning towards women. I just think it's bad politics. Forget about the character and morals. It's bad politics. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I think it's part of the Donald Trump virus, because, you know, what viruses do is they rewrite the DNA of cells, and you may turn that into little factories for recreating, you know, just turn out little factories for turning out the viruses. I think that Donald Trump has infected the entire Republican Party. I mean, I have just some stepsons and a stepdaughter that, you know, the two stepsons actually lived with me and my, you know, now deceased ex-wife. Mm-hmm. But they looked at me at as a father as well as their own father. I mean, that, and it is just disturbing to me he would say something like that, because, you know, that I have actually have a good relationship with the two stepsons that actually lived with us, and that and it is just sad that he's saying that kind of thing, because what the Republicans are preaching now is anathema to democracy, a democratic republic, mm-hmm. and the whole cultural ignorance that is out there now. The people don't teach civics anymore in school. And that they don't seem to understand that we are a, you know, democratic republic, and that the reason religions have been able to thrive in this country is because we have been a secular democratic republic.
Exactly.
Because some of these religious denominations would be looked upon as heretics by, say, the Puritans. I mean, the Puritans didn't tolerate any kind of, you know, nonconformity at all, even though they were nonconformists with the Church of England in some ways, but they would not, you know, they took short shrift with anybody who was, they considered heretical, you know, hanging them or flogging them or exiling them.
I always appreciate it, Mark. Got the other calls to get to, but always appreciate your listenership. Great points. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. He's absolutely right that we are not a theocracy. This country was not founded on saying we're going to have a national religion. Quite the opposite. If you wanted to be a person of religion and faith, you could do that and choose which one that was you. Or if you didn't want to be a person of faith, that was fine too. This was not a country that was founded as a theocracy that we are all going to believe the same religion. 855-752-4842. Let's go out to beautiful Richland County in southwest Wisconsin. John, listening in Boaz. John, appreciate you holding. What say you?
Yeah, this is the home of the mastodon.
Yes, it is.
Like a big elephant. A big elephant that they found the bones in one of our little backwater creeks.
All right.
So, What I'd like to say, Todd, is why don't you throw your name in the hat for vice president?
Well,
you are pursuing the truth.
Right? Well, I appreciate the sentiment, and it'd be a heck of a lot of fun, but there are people that are absolutely more qualified than me. But I appreciate it, John. I really appreciate it. Look, I think there are so many great people that Kamala Harris is looking at right now. I think Buttigieg would be great. I think Kelly would be great. I think Shapiro would be great. Those would be my top three choices. And maybe it'll be somebody that we haven't even talked about yet. At our informal weekly review last night, that was the question on the table. What is it that we don't know we don't know? It's a great question from the old Don Rumsfeld line, Secretary of Defense under W. Bush, famous for the quote, "There are things we know, there are things we don't know, and there are things we don't know we don't know." It's because it's so true. What is it that we don't know that could still happen in the next 99 days before the election? Perhaps a surprise vice presidential pick. Somebody we're not talking about. Somebody that will just pop up on the screen. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It will not be me. I am very, very happy at my current gig here at Civic Media. Don't you think, Mr. Zommers? I just better off to keep a good thing going on.
I would think so. I don't think going into federal politics is a good move right now if you value sanity.
Right. It just I don't have the mental capacity for it on so very many levels. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. All right, let's flip a page. Other things happening over the weekend. Let's, because I wanted to start off with kind of some good notes on the Democratic side from Secretary Pete Buttigieg. And feel free to keep calling in on that if you feel so moved and inclined. But I do want to get to a couple of cuts from the former president, Donald Trump, who is back on the campaign stump. He's been off for a while. Haven't seen a lot of him. And again, based on my reporting, the Republicans and the Trump camp were caught flat-footed. And Buttigieg said it best last week, that Trump could not conceive of a presidential race that was not completely focused on the candidate for president. And therefore, because he would never think of stepping aside, he couldn't imagine Joe Biden ever stepping aside. And he certainly could not imagine a candidate for president in Kamala Harris who kicked off her campaign, instead of talking about herself, talked about us, the American people, and said the campaign would be focused on the future for us. So the Trump folks are trying to make up ground. They had him back on the stump this weekend. I'm going to play this cut for you, and then I'm going to break it down, and I want your input on this, because I've thought long and hard about it. He keeps mentioning Hannibal Lecter from the movie Silence of the Lambs, a serial killer cannibal. Play the cut.
Fictional.
Fictional. Thank you. Thank you. This is a fictional character from a movie. Jodie Foster, of course, the great Jodie Foster, I believe it won an Academy Award for that film, played the investigator, the FBI agent. Here is Trump on the stump from this weekend.
From prisons, mental institutions, insane asylums. You know, they go crazy when I mention Dr. Hannibal Lecter. You know who that was. They say, why does he keep mentioning Hannibal Lecter? Well, you see, he was a slightly troubled patient in an insane asylum, and he'd love to have you for dinner, you right there. Love to have you here. But I mentioned him because we have people like that coming into our country. They're closing their insane asylums all over the world.
They're, quote, they're closing their insane asylums all over the world. Asylums. As someone who worked in a congressional office for nearly 5 years, and one of my main responsibilities was dealing with immigration issues, I can tell you that when someone applies for political asylum, or they are asylum seekers, it means that they are applying to for protection, to come to the United States because they feel they can prove that their life is in danger for either political reasons or in some cases, in some countries where perhaps it's a country where women are supposed to wear head veils and the individual refused to do that. And so the sentence is death. Or maybe it's a country where being gay is outlawed and punishable by death. And they were outed and they feel that if they stay in their country, they'll be killed. So they seek asylum in the United States, political asylum, safety, legal asylum. And if you look at the poem at the base of the Statue of Liberty in New York City, to paraphrase, give me your tired, your poor, your hungry, yearning to breathe free, pardon me. Our country was founded on accepting misfits from other countries, a place of safe harbor, asylum. That's what it means. And honest to God, I feel that Donald Trump does not understand this. And when he keeps saying Hannibal Lecter and referring to asylum, insane asylum, Trump actually thinks that the people who are coming here to seek asylum are people who are escaping or been thrown out of insane asylums, to use the phrase, and are coming to the United States. I think he believes that. That's why he keeps using the Hannibal Lecter line. And he thinks it's funny because he understands as he's trying to make a joke. This is the person who had the nuclear codes. You understand? Hannibal Lecter, Donald, was fictional. Fictional. Back after this on the All Balls Show on Civic Media. I assume the theme song from The Silence of the Lambs.
Yes, that's correct.
Don, it's a movie. It's a movie, Don. An Academy Award winning movie. Jodie Foster and Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Asylum. The first definition on Oxford Dictionary, if you look it up, yeah. The number one definition is the protection granted by a nation to someone who's left their native country as a political refugee. The second definition, which has a disclaimer that it is a dated term no longer in use, is that it's an institution offering shelter and support to people who are mentally ill.
Right. It's a dated term. You're right. Older generations or some people may still use that. But yeah,
No one's going to not know what you're talking about.
Right. But it's just not something you would use today. But I honestly don't. Do you think I'm wrong?
No, I think you're totally right. It's the only reason I can think of that he would keep bringing up the late, great Hannibal Lecter all the time.
Because it doesn't make sense unless the reason I laid out before the break is that I think Trump actually believes that when he hears that people are coming here for political asylum or to seek asylum, that they're coming here being thrown out or having escaped, in his words, insane asylums and want that same type of treatment or protection here.
Right. And it's also, that's always the topic where he brings it up, isn't it?
Right.
And his brain is such mushy spaghetti.
so he gins people up based on complete unfactual material. So anyway, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I want to get also on the text line, Nicole, listening on WMDX in Madison, talking earlier about possible vice presidential picks for Kamala Harris, says, don't forget about the awesome Andy Beshear of my home state of Kentucky. Great Kentucky bourbon, by the way, in Kentucky. No, I think he's been a great governor, Nicole. I just don't think it's going to be him, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Trump won Kentucky by 60 points-ish. And I don't think, even with Andy Beshear, I just don't see him being able to deliver Kentucky for Kamala Harris. So I'm not sure that he brings the needed electoral college power. But who knows? Like I say, it could be. It could be. Maybe it's something that we haven't talked about so far. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. A few minutes left here before the top of the hour. Let's go over to beautiful Mequon. David in Mequon calling in. David, always a pleasure. What say you?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
In regards with, you know, what we have going on with people coming over across the border, and yes, people are definitely leaving other countries from around the planet. It's not just, you know, South America, Mexico and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's from everywhere. That being said, we do have to figure out a system where, you know, say, okay, listen, we can take X amount of people per year, because by what's happening, by the amount of people that are coming in, it's overwhelming the system. How do we know this? If you look at the bigger cities like New York and Chicago and other things, the amount of money that's being allocated to clothe, the house, to feed them, it's affecting even their city budgets now, where they're having to cut back on some of their city budgets because of the influx of all these individuals. So I do think, you know, why he's overzealous in what he's saying, the bigger picture is that, you know, we do have to realize, listen, we have a lot of homeless people in this country as it is. We have a lot of veterans that need help. And unfortunately, when we start spending money on people that are considered non-citizens of the U.S., mm-hmm. and we start spending money on that, that takes away from people who actually do need the help. And I'm not saying we can't help them, mm-hmm. but there is a limit. It's happening in Europe. They're having issues over there with that. And the system, if you overwhelm the system, it hurts everybody. It just doesn't hurt those individuals.
David, I appreciate so much your thoughtful call. Sure. and your points. And, sure. and I think you raised some really great issues. And feel free to mm-hmm. jump in at any time. But as someone, I shouldn't say but I should say in addition to, as someone who worked with immigration issues for 5 years for a congressman from Wisconsin, and who has been to El Salvador 39 times in 25 years, I don't disagree that their system is broken. And you nailed it. And for the last 40 years plus, both Republicans and Democrats have not wanted to put the allocated resources in to hiring enough people to put the systems in place to adequately process those people. And you're right. I mean, I guess you didn't say this, but I'll say it. Not everyone who applies to come here is qualified and should. And there should be a weeding out and vetting process, but neither major right. political party wants to put the dollars in there. So that's number one. Number two, as someone mm-hmm. who started going to El Salvador in 1992, and there are 39 times, I don't agree, and we'll get into this at another time, I don't agree with the current president, Nayib Bukele's method. But over his last six-ish years of being president, he has completely changed interior in El Salvador. By the way, with a lot of help from China, they've cracked down on their interior crime. And now El Salvador went from having one of not the highest influx of undocumented people to the United States to one of the lowest. And again, I don't agree with how he did it. I can get into that later. But the fact is, look what's happening in Venezuela right now. El Salvador yep. is the example that if the United States would invest in countries and help democracies thrive and create better conditions in these countries, you would have fewer people wanting to come here, both legally and illegally. And so I think I love the fact that you recognize this is a complex problem, but I don't think that the the language, the vitriol, the demeaning and putting, you know, demeaning a complete race of people like Latinos or Hispanics and calling them rapists and murderers and play instead of what you just did, which is having a civil conversation, Trump and the MAGA folks try to put in fear and throw unfactual or infactual information on it. So I think that's where the disconnect comes from.
I agree with you. And you know, at the end of the day, like you said, we have a situation where, you know, you have all these people coming in.
Right.
You know, you got to put them somewhere.
Right. David, great call. Really appreciate it. Appreciate the thoughtfulness. Jack, hang on. We'll take your call in the second hour. Don't go anywhere. It's the second hour of the Todd Allball Show straight ahead right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.